radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
We have a need to be circumcised with the circumcision which is made without hands, Colossians 2 says. That is the putting off of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, it's kind of an interesting verse. It's Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. If you take notes and you want to go back and parse out this message, this wonder that we're trying to disclose to you, the Bible says that we are to be, even though we're Gentiles, he's writing to Colossians, they're Gentiles. He's saying you need to be circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. You see how the devil works? A little bit of truth, you need to be circumcised. Stop there. Boom. Yeah, you do. But not with the circumcision made with hands, but the circumcision made without hands. It's a circumcision of the heart. It says we need to be circumcised with the circumcision made without hands in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. Listen, by the circumcision of Christ. See, Jesus was circumcised. And when we're in Jesus, even if a person is found uncircumcised after they come to Jesus, they're circumcised in him. He is circumcised in your behalf. Just a little something that we need to understand. But when Jesus was circumcised, what he was doing was he was taking on himself what we might call a seal to get something done. He was contracting himself to see something through to the end. In other words, he that is circumcised is a debtor to do the whole law, and nobody ever could. That's what the scriptures tell us in Galatians 5:3. But Jesus could. So he was circumcised and he could keep the law, but everybody else who was circumcised, none of them could. So when Jesus took the circumcision, he literally bore a seal of voluntary obligation. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to fulfill the law. Guys, listen. Jesus didn't do just miracles. Jesus lived that absolutely perfect life. He never sinned one time. Not once. Ever. He was the spotless Lamb of God. As a lamb, he could go to the cross. As a lamb, he could be offered. As a lamb, his blood would let the death angel pass over you and me. So when it says Jesus is being circumcised according to the law, he really wasn't required to, because just like he wasn't required to be baptized, but he was taking upon him that initiation, if you will, by virtue of his parents doing what they were supposed to do. He's born under the law, so he gets all this stuff done for him. And he has got now the seal of voluntary obligation. Think about that. So what he has to do now, it's like this. You say, listen, I'm going to pick somebody. Larry, you and I are going to race. We're going to race. We're going to do 100 yards, okay? You and me. Let's go, okay? I say, Larry and I are going to do a race. You got a bad foot. All the better. Amen? All the better. So we begin, we get at the starting line. Larry's, okay, Pastor, I'm with you, whatever you say. And somebody lets the starting gun, they say, ready, set, go, and I take off. And I said before, I'm going to beat him, I'm going to win, I know I'm going to win. Everybody say, well, that means nothing, because he's got a bum foot, you know, you're 20 years younger than him, blah, blah, blah. Hey, I'm going to win, all right, I'm going to win. But you see, even as silly as that is, it's almost similar to what Jesus did. See, it was nothing for him to win. It was nothing for him to be spotless. It was nothing. He was God. It was every part of his DNA to do right and to be good and to love and to touch people who were sick. There were places in the scriptures where the Bible says he healed all of them. All of them. Because he could. And whenever he would heal all of them, he would sit down at one point and he would say, now, let me tell you who I am. And he would tell him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't come to the Father but by me. He had fulfilled all the law. He was credible. He had the rapport because he healed people. He loved you and I. Build rapport with people. And then we try to share Jesus with them. We don't do it by healings. We do it by loving. When he was circumcised, this had significance, therefore. He put himself under the voluntary obligation. And he was the only one who ever could have fulfilled the law. He was made under the law to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So he's made under the law. He was circumcised. No matter where you come from, Jew or Gentile, you get circumcision, you get righteousness, you get everything he did, you get the lack of all the besmirchments of sin. Because he, when he died for me and I was in him. When he was buried, he lay cold dead in a grave to prove that my debt was paid. The corruption couldn't consume him. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. And now I'm dead to sin and I'm freed from sin according to Romans. And when you get to chapter 8, it says in Romans, how shall not he then that has raised Jesus from the dead also quicken your mortal bodies so you can do some stuff too? You're dead to sin, you're freed from sin, but you're not dead to righteousness now. You're living in Jesus. You can go live for Jesus. You can go love for Jesus. It's a wonder what's going on in the circumcision. But it doesn't stop there, does it? Because not only did he obligate himself voluntarily to live an absolutely perfect life, but further than living that life, he had to die because there was a debt that had to be paid. Redemption usually requires a coupon or funds. And so the Bible says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. You see, because he became a curse for us, the Bible says, right? Becoming a curse for us. You see the wonder of this? I mean, the circumcision thing, that's just showing you how deep this thing goes. Our identification with Jesus is absolute. It's not a little bit. It's absolute. The Bible says we are complete in him, right? Isn't that good? We're complete in him. And the Bible says not only did he become a curse for us, but he was also brought under a palpable pledge. And I say palpable because we don't see him getting up in the morning and going down at night. We don't see him going in and out like he did as a child and as a teenager. We don't see him for the first 30 years of his life, but it was all absolutely done perfectly. The palpable pledge was seen in the fact that he became obedient unto death. His obedience was not just surface. He was good. He was all good. Perfect. Spotless. Lamb of God. But when it came down to it, they took him. They stripped all of his clothes from him and they beat him with a whip that had pieces of bone and metal in it. It's called a cat of nine tails. And they ripped his body to shreds. You could have seen his insides because of it. It was like wrapping around and pull back. It was palpable, right? Palpable. He could have said, I'm done. This is too hard. He didn't. He went the whole course. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so we're complete in him. When next time you read through this passage, next year, next month, whenever you get to it in your daily reading, when he was circumcised, remember, you identify with him. And he identifies with you. You're complete in him. It's not a circumcision that we have now need of a flesh, but of the heart. And the putting off of the filth of the flesh. Because he calls us to live a new life now. He calls us to go out and love for him because he's forgiven us. He's saved us. He's given us all of his righteousness. Back to our chief passage in Luke chapter 2. The Bible says, and when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now for most of us, that again is a little bit of a mysterious word. Days of her purification, what does all that mean? Well, the days of her purification are set before us in Exodus 13. There's a certain amount of days that are set before us in this passage that actually tell us what has to happen. Verse 2 of chapter 13 in Exodus, it says, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whether of beast or of man, and whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel of both man and beast. It is mine. This is said directly on the heels of the Passover. And what is happening is he's telling them that the firstborn are mine. Why? Because the Passover was all about the firstborn. In Egypt that night when God broke the neck of Pharaoh, He did so. After 9 previous plagues, he sent forth the death angel to slay the firstborn of every man and beast in all of Egypt. However, he gave the people of Israel that sign of the blood on the lintel and the doorposts of the house wherein a Jewish person would reside, where they were told to take a lamb, separate it for 7 days, make sure it's spotless on the 7th day, finding it true. If you slay it, you catch its blood in a little bowl. And you take a little hyssop in a bowl and you slash it at the top, you slash it on the sides, and you basically have that dripping. You have a sign of the cross. And he says, and if you'll do all this properly and you'll eat in haste, you'll have your loins girded as if you're ready to go, and you got a staff in your hand, and you're doing all this. And he says, and don't leave anything. Take all of Jesus. Take all of the lamb. Take all of Jesus. That's the picture. This is my body broken for you. He says, take it all. And leave nothing. And he says, and when I pass through, I'll pass over you. Hence the Passover. It's a beautiful picture. And they're being told in chapter 13, on the heels of that famous and marvelous event, they're being told, now you're going to do this over and again. He tells them in verse 3 of Exodus 13, remember this day. And they were supposed to remember it. In verse 6, it says, 7 days you will eat unleavened bread, and the 7th day shall be a feast unto the Lord. And he says in verse 8, you're going to show your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did when he brought us forth out of Egypt, when he brought me forth. You're going to tell your son, and your son's son, and your son's son. But it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Taking your son and not just saying something, but showing him. Right? You're engaged. You guys know, perhaps, from having seen a Seder somewhere, that when the Jews celebrate Passover to this very day, many times they will plant little bundles of leaven and have the kids get involved. And they'll run from place to place like an Easter egg hunt looking for the leaven to clean the leaven out of the house for the Passover. They make it fun. Can I say to you, as parents and grandparents, we need to make loving Jesus fun. It's not a burden. I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. I love Jesus. I want to go to church. This is what you want to do. You want to go hear more about the Word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever been heard. You know, I mean, just tell me again. I mean, I can't get enough of this. We think we can after a week without it, but then it's come back around. You're like, wow, when we were out for a little while, we came back. Wow, this is great. You know, this is wonderful. Tears in the room when you got back in. If you've been away because you've been sick for a while, we've got a couple here this morning. Hey, man, we're back home. Praise God. It's good to be home. It's good. You don't even realize how good it is till you miss it for a while. When I was in school, man, we used to have church on Sunday and Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. And we had chapel 3 times a week. We had prayer meetings and Bible studies inside the dorms. It was all the time. I got out of church. I got out of school. And I was like, man, when do we go to church again? It seems like forever just to get to midweek. We need to not make it seem like a burden. We need to show them we love it, because your kids know what you love. They know if you love sports, they're going to want to love sports. They'll know if you're a big buckle guy, like out in Texas. They like big buckles. Little kid's got a buckle bigger than his waist. But I'm like dad, you know. It's a beautiful thing. They want to be like you. The glory of a child is his father. Show your son in that day. This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. He says, and it shall be a sign. Listen to this. It shall be a sign unto thee upon thine hand and for a memorial between your eyes. You know what that rings to me of? A mark on your hand or your forehead. The devil's a big counterfeiter. The devil's ridiculous. Okay? He's ridiculous. He missed the whole point.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.